Praise God. Praise God. I do this to protect you. I think you'll recognize a couple of themes that have been ministered tonight. I don't necessarily have the message, but I have a word God put in my spirit. And like I said, I think the themes you'll recognize, the main theme, and we'll be going to Ephesians 5 and verse 13. We'll start there. But the heart of it, the heart of the matter, is recognizing the will of God. That's the admonition. Recognize the will of God. Recognize the will of God. So Ephesians chapter 5, I'll start in verse 13, and then we'll kind of go from there. Ephesians 5, verse 13, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. So my first point is this, is to wake up and recognize the time. Wake up and recognize the time. I have an analogy that comes to mind when as God brought this to me, and it goes to the Chronicles of Narnia. Some of you have watched the movies. The real joy is in reading the books, as the books were written actually to explain the entire, not just salvation, but the plan of God. I mean, it was written by C.S. Lewis, right? C.S. Lewis to his kid. And the analogies in there are amazing. Obviously, Aslan, who is a lion, is the son of the king, and he's the one that is the ruler to come back. And the kids are called into this land of really kind of eternity. You kind of have to read the books from beginning to end to kind of get the example. But there's one particular, it's a lot of encounters, but there's one encounter there where the kids, some of the kids come back, and as a girl, the little girl and little guy, and they get, and the little girl, and they come to this, they're at this hill, and it overlooks a city. And they're looking over the city, and something happened, and the girl knocks the little boy over the cliff. And Aslan comes out, and he doesn't save the boy, but he makes sure he lands softly in the city. And then he walks, and he says, okay, now you caused a problem that you're going to have to fix. And there's this great, you know, kind of interaction between them I'm the king and she's afraid of him or whatever. And she's like, hey, can you not be who you are? And it's like, no, that's impossible. You have to accept me as who I am. He says, here's your mission. I'm going to send you to that city to retrieve this boy. But while you can hear me clearly in this place of quiet, place of rest, while you can hear me clearly here and you can see me speaking to you, when you get it down into that city, you're not going to be able to hear me clearly. And I have to warn you that as you're in that city, there's going to be a temptation to be wrapped up in the things of the city. Now, you have to be careful, because if you do that, you're going to be lost and your mission will be lost. But I will come to you and protect you and speak to you, but it's not going to be clear. It's going to be like a dream. But you have to be clear to stay on task so that you can get the boy and bring him out. And she goes in, and she's kind of enamored by the city and things that are going on, and the mission gets cloudy. And she kind of forgets why she's there, even though she finds the boy. And in the night season, Aslan comes to her, but it's kind of weird. It's like I can't remember the full story now, but he's kind of like a train, or Jocelyn's looking at me. You remember clearly, don't you? He's kind of like a train, and she's like, oh, I had a nightmare or whatever. When she comes through, she remembers, oh, wait a minute. I'm not supposed to be wrapped up in what's going on here. I have to carry out the mission. That's the thing that God brought to me, is not to be wrapped up in the things of the world, but wake up and recognize the times. Now, there's a tendency, because of things that happen with same-sex marriage being passed and things getting seemingly more difficult to live in, there's a tendency to be wrapped up in the politics of everything. Are you going to vote for Trump? Are you going to vote for Clinton? Or, oh, I can't believe what the Republicans are doing, and I'm going to be a Tea Party. I'm not going to be a Tea Party.
That's confusion. That's the cloud. Oh, we're going to go push to be amazing. We got to go out and build this and build that. I got this great opportunity for a job and all this. Maybe you've been blessed to have all this money around. You can get the cars, you got the house, and you got this. And that just makes things hazy. It's not that those things shouldn't be happening, but each one of you have a clear, concise mission that we're supposed to be on, that we are on. And God's, which again kind of goes with the things that people are saying, wake up and recognize the time. Even though darkness abounds, what did the Bible say? Grace does much more abound. Even though darkness abounds or sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Where does the grace of God reside? Here's my point. As far as we're concerned, as far as this world is concerned, where does the grace of God reside? In us. Pastors should not be, I know y'all are seeing it with him. But here's what God is calling, because it's easy to say, well, man, that we need to, you know, we know how God did it in the Azusa Revival. We know how God did it in the Welsh Revival. We know how God did it in those times. And there may be a tendency to say, well, if he's going to do it, he's going to do it like that. But if you hear what God is saying, the grace of God has always resided in the believer. And if grace is going to abound, it comes up. It's not hidden, which means you are going to be pushed up to the forefront to be the presence of God in the earth. You're not going to be hidden. See, as right now, the season, again, not the message, but the word, the season is not the season of going to church on Sunday to increase the presence of God. And pastor will attest to this, just come and talk to them, where the building is on fire and people don't understand it. And so they come to the building to see what happens. Right? Amazing miracle. Not the plan of God. Pastor never tell you, it was the bank building. They're in there ministering. And there's your testimony of people looked at the building and was like, oh my gosh. We have testimony of this building where people have walked by, looked at it, noticed, and come in to see what was going on. Not the plan of God. Workings of God, yes, not the plan of God. Wake up, recognize the season. Wake up and look in 14 where it says, wake up, sleeper, arise from the dead of your slumber, doing nothing, and then Christ will shine on you. Christ will shine on you. The glory of the Lord will wrap around you. And what did Pastor, what came out of his mouth right before I get, it's time, well, he might not have said it, but somebody said, it's time to step out and do something. Now, not just anything, but do something. He said, wake up, be alert, recognize what time it is, step out and do it so that Christ can shine on Pastor. No, he's already done that. That's why you're here. The opportune word is Christ will shine on you. So wake up, point to myself, wake up, first thing. And then the next thing is being built up to be Christ. Notice that this, again, this is a word, not a message, just a word of encouragement, of exhortation as we move into what God is already doing. So first, wake up, written not to sinners, written to saints. Powerful church for you to wake up, recognize what time it is. Ephesians 4. Watch this. Ephesians 4. You already know it. Verse 11. Verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of who? For the equipping of who? Say me. For the equipping of who? Equipping of who? For the what? For the work. Stop right there. The equipping of me. For the work, the equipping of me for the work, the equipping of me for the work. Watch this. He gave some to be pastors, some to be evangelists, some to be prophets, some to be pastors, some to be teachers, so that they can then go out and build churches to produce more pastors, more evangelists, more teachers, more prophets. No, never the mission. But see, you can get wrapped up in the things that are going on, right? And it becomes hazy. Got a big church. Got a big church in Houston. Other people come to the church. Man, look who's doing well. Pastor's doing well. What do I want to be? I want to be like him. How do I be like him? I'm going to go be next to him. I'm going to do what he does. I'm going to carry his Bible so that I can look and try to get myself in position to be the next pastor. Right? Now, who's in the wrong? Is he in the wrong? No, he's called to be the pastor, called to prosper, called to be blessed. You know, so he's walking where he's supposed to walk. You're attracted to him. Is that wrong? No. Why? Glory of the Lord shining upon him. What did Sean say when he got up here? The face of what? What did people do? Drawn to it. Supposed to be drawn to him. What are you drawn to? Drawn to him personality? Maybe. If you like odd humor. If you like jazz, you know, there's some natural stuff there. What are you drawn to? Drawn to the Spirit of the Lord upon him. Walking in his position. Then where does it stop? What's he supposed to do? He's supposed to teach me, equip me, build me up to be what? To be me. But I love pastor. That's supposed to happen. But I love pastor to be me. A lot of churches facing church splits. Why? Well, I gotta be him. I gotta be him. I gotta take what's his. Right? Because that's my desire. I gotta have a church. This one's already here. Let me, right? I'm talking about the confusion. Right? I mean, some of that comes from the ministry because I need other people around me. So I'm going to gather this army around me, and everybody that comes in has to be like, that's not the purpose. It was never the purpose. It was never the mission. The mission is to build them up to be like who? Or not even to be like who. Let's continue to read that. I kind of played with the words there just to draw it again. Not the word, just their teachers, 12, but the equipping of the saints for the work, to equip me for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith, not to the dividing of the different denominations, be united in faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Look at that. Knowledge, unity in faith, unity in knowledge to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We just had that in one of the messages. Built you up so that you can measure up to the fullness of the Christ. You've been here a year, you've been here 2 years, maybe not 3 months, might be a little early, but if you've been here any long, you've heard that you are what? Are you an angel? No. Are you a slave? Who are you? You are a son. You are a son. You are a second heir? No. Are you a third heir? You are a joint heir. A joint heir. Equal rights. Equal rights. If you're here, you've heard. Why have you been listening to this? Why have you been hearing this? Because you've been called to do something. You've been called to measure up to the full, not the half stature, not the half measure, but the full. When you look at Christ and you see Christ, that's what he says you're supposed to measure up to. Some churches teach that you can't measure up to that. Well, we can't be like Christ. But the scripture says the work of the ministry is to equip you for that purpose. Well, that's for the 30-year-olds. That's for the 40-year-olds. That's for the 50-year-olds. No, that's for me. Well, I don't understand all that pertains to that. That's why we're here. Now we get back to the mission. Because if you're here, you're being what? You're being built up. You're being equipped. You're being trained. But we've come to entertain. Well, I'm going to show you how good I can sing. Richard better make sure I get the solo this Sunday. I'm tired of Damon singing all the solos. But that's never the mission. That's not the purpose of the church, you understand? The purpose of the church, if I'm in the worship, is to help lead people into the presence. But if the purpose of the church becomes I get to display the gift that I have and this amazing talent that I have, and oh my gosh, look, let me flip this into a television series. Now that's out there, and I'm not going to criticize that. What I am going to say is you can't forget the what? Can't forget the mission. It's not about that. See, when I start seeing this, and then I look what Christ said, you know what? And it stands before the fire, all the chaff is going to burn. Only what you do, this is a song. It starts to make sense now. But Lord, look at this book series that I have about top seller, New York. I don't care. And I want to drive this home because I'm going to come back to it. But what's important is what he designed you to do. Now see, this is the masterpiece that is God. Each of you have been designed specifically to effect change in the world. Designed specifically. When I say designed specifically, if I go to my kitchen, I can find a lot of stuff. And each one of those things are specific to a particular step. If I get a fork, you know, it's for stabbing my wife's meatloaf to put it in my mouth. But I can't, I can stab with the knife, but the knife doesn't do as well to pick up the meatloaf, right? It can cut, but it doesn't do that specific task. If I get a spoon, you know, she makes this tortilla chicken soup. Just makes me fat. You know, and if I grab the fork to stab, you know, I can get something back. But the spoon just, you know, and I get real, I get the spoon in my hand. Just stop that. Specific to all in the kitchen. All in the kitchen. See, here's where the pastor comes in. A whole lot of stuff in the house. And the pastor gets to help equip it so that it can fulfill its purpose. Function, the pastor says. See that? But you can't come here and try to be him. That's the master chef. He's equipping. His assistants are helping equip so that you can be you. So that you wake up and say, I'm a fork. Let me stab stuff, you know. so that personality, I'm saying that because it seems like the only people that can find their function in the church are the athletes. No, Tim Tebow. Oh, I'm big. I'm fast. I can lead. I think I can play quarterbacks. Like, why is the only people that's in the church that can find their function is the athlete? He comes to the pastor. Hey, what am I supposed to do? Well, it's not to paint daisies. Let's figure out what you're good at. You know what I'm saying? Because we spend time in the church trying to make people squeeze into a mold that they would have never designed to fit in, and then we wonder why they don't like the assembling together. Because the assembling together has become a process to make them change into something they were never meant to be. I wouldn't want to go there either. Never supposed to be that. The purpose of the gathering of the body is so that we can come into the presence of God. And in the presence of God, you have people get up and say, I have a word, and I'm going to give this word, and that word resonates in your heart. And you're supposed to be trained and equipped so that you can recognize the resonation that resonated with me. Dad, what am I supposed to do with that? Now training can happen. But if there's none of that, then you see you get stuff resonating, and you don't know what that is, and you say, well, I enjoyed service. That's not the purpose. It's nice. Pastor wants you to enjoy, but that's not the purpose. That's why he doesn't care if he offends you. Let me rewind that. He cares. But his purpose is to preach the truth, so he's not going to be deterred from the message God gave him. Although he may say, well, I'm sorry I offended you, but oh well. Because the purpose is to help you grow up so that you can be the tool that you were designed to be. And you have a purpose. There's a reason why you are the way you are. Now, personally, we can get into excess. And we can major in the misunderstanding of our personalities. That's when you get into things like depression. Or you get into things like, oh, I'm just so excited, I don't know what to do, you know. Or you get into excess in other areas. That's when you have not understood the function of who you are. It's not all your personality, it's the misunderstanding of the purpose for that personality. Does that make sense? There's a reason why God designed you to be the way you are. The enemy's purpose is to twist that, distort that, You understand? That's why Dr. Ruth and those people get all that money, because there's a business in that. They don't have the truth, though. It's only the truth that can make you whole. Jesus says, I've been anointed to open the eyes of the blind. Makes sense. So wake up and then get built up. You're in the place to be built up. You're in the place to be built up. The purpose, again, not just to hear. One of the amazing truths that I learned. It's one of the amazing truths. One of the things, I love using hyperbole, but he has a lot of knowledge. One of the truths that he shared with me to help change my life, he used to say, it doesn't say it a lot now, but he used to say it now, he says, do not memorize scripture. Do not. Now, I came out of a religious church. People love God. Again, need some understanding. But one of the things that you were taught, if you're going to be AME church, there's a lot of things you have to memorize. A lot of stuff we say in the service that you have to know so the service can function. I was glad when they said unto me, let us be in the house of the Lord, you know, all kind of stuff. You know. Do not memorize scriptures. Man, what you talking about? The function that it's in your head. The scripture being in your head bears you no purpose at all. Does not help you. Does not help you. Does not help you to memorize scripture. Does not help your kids for you to force them to memorize scripture. The thing I didn't stop there though, because they're like, oh, I don't have to memorize scripture. Nah, you know. No, his function says you need to get to know the Lord. You need to get familiar with the truth. He would say stuff like, you know, Jesus used to say, well, it says somewhere this. I was like, okay. Then I need to get to know the word. Know it. Couldn't recite to you where it was, but I could tell you. Well, for God so loved the world. Couldn't tell you where it was, but I could tell you. The word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to separate, divide soul and flesh. I mean, I could tell you. I couldn't tell you where it was. Why? Because there were certain times when that was important to me, important for me to understand that and know that. But it was important because that's when you begin to walk with God. Why do you need to know the truth? Okay. Instead of memorizing, because when you have a personal relationship with something, okay. I'm trying to make it broad. Yes, Lord, make it broader. Okay. There's a time when, I've shared this story before. There's a time when I grew up, I was no longer 7, 6, 8. See, Mom hit me so hard, I got those mixed up. 6, 7, 8. There's a time when I became 13. And she's a single parent. Mom's tough, but she's a single parent. So Mom took me into the kitchen, and she said, John, you're just, I said, yeah, Mom, it's the rolling pin, big wooden rolling pin. Y'all probably don't recognize them now because we're in a different age, microwave, stuff like that. But it used to be big rolling pin. She used to leave it out on the cutting board. And she said, John, now, you see this? I said, yes, Mom, I see that. She said, you know what this is for? Man, my mom knows how to cook, and she knows how to bake. I said, man, I know what that's for. I'm getting these like lessons. What are we going to make? He said, this is not going to be used for cooking. Okay, yeah, baking. She said, no. This ain't going to be used for nothing. This is going to sit here. There's going to be a time in your life when you're going to feel like you can test me. And I was like, let me step back a little bit. Because I know my family. She said, there's going to be a time when you feel like you can test me. I want you to know, when you do, this is here for you. And I knew what she meant. And see, she didn't have to do that 6 times. Just once. So she had to do it. And I remembered, I can only go so far with Mom. I can remember that vividly. I remember where she was. I remember where I was. I remember that rolling pin. That resonated with me. In the same way, the word of God should resonate with you. And if it doesn't, there's going to be a time when you stand in front of a test and you're going to have to call on something to deliver you through that. A philosophy, a way of thinking. And only what's in you is what you're going to draw on. You're either going to draw on your interaction with your parents to enable you to deal with that situation, or you're going to draw on your relationship with your friends to help you deal with that situation, or maybe a book or a movie or a television show that you saw. You understand what I'm saying? Everything that you see is teaching you something. You're either going to receive it or you're going to reject it based upon your own personal fortitude. I'm putting this out there just to help you understand why God is saying wake up. Because no matter when it is, no matter what it is, you're faced with situations and you draw upon something. That's why I love working with teens, because I recognize you have a mindset that is developed in your mind from the experiences that you have had. And the ones that enable you to make choices are the ones that you value, the experiences that you value. That's why it's important. God says, hey, bad company makes what? Corrupts good intentions. Intentions used to be translated behavior. Why? What happens? Well, if I develop a relationship with Anitra as a friend, and he says, you know what? You shouldn't eat pork bellies because pork bellies eat holes in your stomach. And I said, man, I really value my relationship with Anitra. And I take that to heart. Anitra, you know, sometimes lies to me. I can't say never, because hopefully in the world, people like, well, anyway. But I want to keep it real. She sometimes lies to me, but mostly she's a good friend. So pork bellies being holes in my stomach. And then we go out with the family. Family's going to enjoy pork bellies. And I say, no, I don't want none of that. And Mom says, why, son John? And I say, because pork bellies make holes in my stomach. Like, no, this is a pork belly eating family. Well, I'm not eating no pork bellies. Well, where'd you get that from? Don't worry about that. I'm trying to be outrageous, but what I'm trying to show in you is how the enemy sows in seeds. Those are philosophies that you receive, maybe even subtly, from things that you're relating with people, things that you have seen. Why The Simpsons was amazing. If you understand the psychology behind The Simpsons, you have the kids who are kind of they're the focal point, but you think they're not. I mean, but the show is about Bart and Lisa, but the parents are idiots. The parents are idiots. You love that show, and all of a sudden, you start wondering, well, why do I look at my parents as idiots? And it's already bad when you're a teenager anyway, because then you're like, they not with it. But the show's up, well, your parent is an idiot. You shouldn't listen to them. But who should I listen to? Well, there's only the kids that are smart. Certain movies that are out there, I go to movies, I love movies, but I also recognize the thing behind them. There's a movement in movies now to where the youth are the ones that are saving the world. Parents are evil, they don't understand, and they do not want to change, and they have to be rejected in the movies. Now, I can look at the movie and say, okay, that's not truth. I need to make sure, but if you're watching that and you receive that and you accept that and say, you know what, we need to be together. Teens. And now you can text each other. You hear my mama say it? Who are you talking to? Nobody. Just receiving philosophy. And then walls are being made between you and your parents. Why is that important? Because the Bible says folly is bound up where? Heart of a kid. We don't know. When I was 6, 7, 8, 9, ain't know what was going on. I had an idea, but who should I be able to look to help me decipher that? Parents. But even the school is telling you, look, there's some stuff you can't tell your parents. I'm just saying, if you wake up, recognize what's going on. Why is that important? Well, it's the parents that are bringing you to church that you don't enjoy. Why? See that? You don't enjoy that, make you go to that church. Listen to that man, that weird music. You can't even dance to that music. What kind of move are you going to do today? You understand what I'm saying? I'm being silly, but what I'm trying to show you is, no, there is a place for you in the body of Christ. Not necessarily in the church, but in the body of Christ. Heck, yeah. You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be, because you bring that uniqueness to the body. Ain't nobody like me. That's why you are like you. So you can draw other people like you into the church? No, into the body of Christ. But it's all been jumbled up. Television was created. That should have been a function of the church. Why? You're weird. It's a crazy idea. Get out. Out in the world, yeah, we accept that, brother. Come on. Wonderful music. These musicians and stuff, they recognize that. That talent is from God, right? First thing they say when they go to the wars, I'd like to thank Jesus for helping me make my album, Murderers Murder Row, Get Your Bloody Killer. He said, wait. I got to thank God. Grandma told me I better thank God. And I want to thank you for this Bubblicious. Bubblicious 2. Right? I'm saying, you know, they don't even connect that. But I'm saying the talent and the gifting is from the Lord. And what should have happened was the headship should have recognized the art gift in that person and helped them grow up in Christ, so then that function could have been birthed out of only person recognized that is the athletes. Tim Tebow, he's ostracized. He's ostracized because all he did was talk about the Lord. Never killed anybody, never hit a woman, passes classes, everything they ever wanted. Star athlete, did everything right, and they ostracized that brother. He don't do nothing wrong. He don't do nothing wrong. Which is exactly what they wanted, so they can push their sport. No, there's a place for that. Brother was had John 3:16 under his eye. They outlined the little odd stars. And that was just a little small. You couldn't even see that unless they did a close-up. But, man, he affected change. Wow, he gave other athletes courage to do that. Now, some of them don't know what they're talking about. But they're not equipped. You understand? We don't recognize that. Why? They don't need to be in here. You don't even understand nothing. No. They should be equipped so that when they do get up to talk, oh, I want to thank God, we're going to win this game. And then they say, well, why didn't you win that game? Well, the Lord had a plan. No, you lost because you weren't that good. That's why you lost. The other team was better. Now, what you can say is, even in losing, God empowered me to give my best. I can learn from that and be better the next time. See, now that makes sense to people. But then the world's like, well, I don't understand what's going on. You know, Jesus wants you to win. Jesus don't want you to win. What's going on? Is God up there gambling? And, you know, but what's supposed to happen? They're supposed to be underneath the pastors, apostles, pastors, so that they can be equipped. But we don't recognize it. If you hear, him talking about it, they need to be equipped. The people that have a sense for finance need to be equipped so that they can recognize what God is doing in the world of finance and bring the presence of God in that arena. Does that make sense? The people that have their small businesses need to have their small businesses, right? They don't need to be up under the church being stewards, unless God called them to be a steward. But see, you're equipped to hear the voice of God, and you can say, you know what, Pastor? God wants me to be a steward of the church. And then he shows you how to be a steward of the church, financial steward or whatever, instead of sitting there trying to figure out, well, what does God want me to do? Well, that's the purpose of equipping. That's the purpose of equipping, so that you can recognize the voice of God. Too many of us in the body can't recognize the voice of God. One of the most valuable things, I see it, I have to do it when I'm around him, try to get it out, because they won't believe me if I do the hyperbole. But it is a valuable thing, hearing the voice of God. I learned how to go to church. I learned I didn't want to go to hell. That one was simple. Hell burning, heaven cool. That's a winner to me. That's not the gospel. When you're lonely, when you're hurt, I remember a time. this is okay. Yeah, time I was University of Texas. You know, I'm in the preaching. You know, he's depositing stuff in me. I'm giving it out a little bit. You know, I'm a little happy, and then you know, so I'm not kind of happy. Got a little distracted. There was an attractive female, not this one, another one. And I was like, man, you know, I'd like to be with her. I don't know what the Lord wants to be with her, but I think it's a good idea. You know, she had her thing going on. I had my thing going on. Tried to get next to her. She crushed me. You know, that was good. I didn't feel good, though. God, what are you doing to me? Yeah, this is around Damon, Tara. They would have fought the reason. He had a lovely woman next to him. I wonder what Damon had. Anyway. Got next to this girl, she crushed me. Get away from me, you know. Anyway, as I'm upset, I'm up in Jester at the piano, can't play. God, oh, it hurts, And why did you do this to me? I ain't do nothing to you. No, I wanted to be with this girl. And you said he that finds a wife finds a good thing. You don't even know what you're looking for. Right? You reject that. I'm hurt, and I'm mad at God. He didn't even put me in a situation, but I'm mad at God. And then, you know, and then you try to, no, God didn't put me in that situation. And then we say, well, you know, because the scriptures say, and this is the devil, but people use it, the scriptures say, God will cause all things to work for my good. So that situation was for my good. No, he can teach you out of that if you're willing to learn. But you didn't have to go through that hell. You didn't have to. You chose to, and he can bring you through that, but you didn't have to. His desire is never that you would be hurt or crushed. Never. Now, you will go through some difficult times, but there's never a time that God has led you to that he didn't deliver you. Hebrew boys kidnapped from their own state. Everybody's like, God deliver us. God deliver us. God deliver us. God said, the prophet said, stop praying that because you're staying here for a while. Did he not? He said, you're staying here a while. So you need to get used to it. Stayed there a while. Things got tough. King's going to kill everybody. None of y'all are helping me. All of these people died. Daniel, in position. Hold up. I already had favor with the jailer. The person of his prosecution. Hey, man. Well, first, Bobby, was they need to eat all this fine stuff. We can't eat that. We Jewish. Hey, Doc, you got to eat this, man. That's going to be my head. Look here. Just bring us the salad. Say the pork. Rhymes, and then watch what happens. Now he's standing on God because what was in him compelled him. And then at the end of the time, he and his boys were more wise than any other wise man in that nation about everything, not just God stuff, everything. Look good. Bible says comely. I don't know, my wife, do I look comely? Like that. Man, hands look good, wasn't thin. You know, vegans today, I said, tell my wife they need to eat a burger. Look good. Why? Stood up for the Lord because that came out of them. But they were in a serious situation. They were going to die. Jailer said, hey, man, y'all good. Y'all can eat all the salad y'all want. But see, that's the situation you're in now. Okay, give you this one. We have worked in New Orleans. We had a ministry there. Other ministry would come and help out. Kid was a star baseball player. I just want to show you the examples because so you don't think God did that then. Star baseball player for the team. Very good. Coach said, all right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to make sure we win next year. We're going to carry this schedule. Anybody that does not come out for this schedule, you're getting kicked off the team. Family here already committed to go to New Orleans for the summer to help out the ministry, which is going to conflict with the schedule. What does the kid do? I'm talking about scholarship. Going to play scholarship, baseball, or get drafted. Anybody know if you get drafted in baseball, you're getting paid. You're already getting paid. Not like football where they make you go to school first so they can make their money off you first. You get paid. So he has a decision to make. I could get kicked off the team. Kid goes back to school. Hey, coach, I got an issue. Can I talk to you in private? Yeah, I said, look, I'm a believer, and my family is going this summer to go help out a church in Wisconsin, and I'm going to do that. So I'm not going to be able to make the practice. I'm not disrespecting you, but this is important to me. You know what the coach did? Well, we need to change this rule because he didn't want to lose his star player. But his star player stood on what was in him. Now, the ministry could have said, hey, brother, you know, made it an issue. But no, they had taught him before then what was important. But they didn't stifle his ability in baseball, recognizing this brother's been equipped to play baseball. Know what he was? A light to that baseball team. He wasn't a light to us. We were already light. But he's a light to the team because you know what? Even if they didn't get saved, which I'm not sure how many did or didn't, they all recognized that standing for Christ meant something. The problem we're in today is that most people think that standing for Christ means jack squat. You know why they can push that same-sex marriage thing? Because the people in power that wanted to push that recognize the church has no influence. No influence. We can do this now. Before, they wouldn't do it because they could lose votes. Now, They don't stand for nothing. Don't mean nothing. Shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. Otherwise, they're like, you know what? We wouldn't do that because we fear them. Now, they're irrelevant. They're looking at future votes for that. The older crowd, they say, well, we ain't getting them. But them new young people, they don't care about God. Why? Because our mission and purpose is to train and teach. But God is irrelevant if you don't have a relationship with him. God even made fun of that. You worship gods that have no eyes and have no mouth. They can't speak. The prophet made fun of that. Go ahead, call on your God, sacrifice stuff. Wait a minute, be louder, be louder. Maybe he's out to lunch. He made fun of that. Why? Your kid doesn't serve a God that can't talk to him or her. That's not the kind of God that they are under. Your kid doesn't serve a God that doesn't care about their issues. He does. But they have to learn how to hear from God for themselves. You understand what I'm talking about? Pastor Jim cannot hear God for me. Now, he can guide me because the scripture says, hey, I put them there. That's part of leadership. They can help guide you. But his whole goal was to, I need to teach you how to hear God from the scriptures and from the Spirit. You think you can protect them by being God for them? You can't. It was never your goal. God never replaced himself. Never. But we confuse it when we don't do what he said. We need to build them up. We need to train them so that they can experience God for themselves. You see what I'm saying? Because when they step away, not even when they step away from your presence, the enemy's working on them all the time. You know what I'm saying? Now, the kid that's being trained up, not that they're not going to make mistakes, but they're going to be learning to hear God themselves. And then in that relationship, now they have a personal relationship with the word, a word, any word that they can hold on to. It's the word that carries them. Mom and dad can guide them, but it's the word that carries them. Does that make sense? Watch the subtlety. Watch the subtlety. You're in here, wake up, recognize the time, you're in the presence to get built up. Not just to go to church, but to get built up. So the whole time we're together, even if it's just me and Richard hanging out, you know what's coming out of his mouth? Maybe Dallas Cowboys. But and somewhere he's sharing, you know what God said to me? And in me listening to Richard, that's the word that I can get built up because he might be motivated to say it, but God's motivating him to say it because John needs to hear that at that time. Does that make sense? I want to watch it because this is how it used. This is how it used. 2 Corinthians 2:15. Let me tie it in. 2 Corinthians 2:15. It moved in my Bible. 2 Corinthians 2:15. This one was shared today. 15. For we are a fragrance of Christ. We are the fragrance of Christ. Remember I said in the beginning, the grace of God rising up and bounding, that's pointing to us. Look at this. 15, we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. If we are the fragrance of God, if we are, and we remove ourselves to an isolated place, how are they going to smell the fragrance of God? That makes sense. Now, what's what the world is doing? The world continues to push us back into the closet. Homosexuals can come out of the closet, but Christians have to go into the closet. Why? Because your very presence anywhere exudes the presence of God. Anywhere. You can go out, I do lawn care for a service. There, you can go buy some plants. That if my mower goes across them, that fragrance will go across the entire property just because my mower came in contact with it. That's the way we're supposed to be. When people come in contact with us, something of God should rub off on them. It's natural. I mean, I believe God put these other things in the world as examples. First place you see that, the first place you see that is in the family. Your kids are around you, the fragrance of God should come off. They should know that God is a loving father by how you treat them and how I treat my wife. That's the other part of Ephesians. Before I read that, it's going to say all this, and he's going to go down and give example. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Wives, love your husbands. You're like the church to the body of Christ. Children, obey your parents. Gives off the presence of God. Think online. One of the families there in New Orleans, other families around the nation would send their kids to this guy. He's already working with other kids. Would send him. Why? Because his kids were well-behaved. Had one son, was a hellion, but he's well-behaved. Loved his father. His father loved him. Went to all his baseball games, worked tirelessly for them while doing the ministry. The kids in the ministry were attracted to that. Wanted to go hang out at his house. Why? Because he loved his kids. He just loved his kids. They went out and played baseball, basketball, football. The kids wanted to be with him. Why? Because he loved his kids. Disciplined them, but he loved his kids. They wanted to be around that. It was attractive. He loved his wife, honored his wife. They wanted to be around that. Families looked at them, made fun of them for the Christ, but they recognized that's different. I want that. But we hide that. No, God meant for you to be up out in front so that the world can see this is what family is. This is what family is. This is how you raise your children. You know what? Somebody that has a hellion in their family, can't deal with them, will look at you and say, well, how did you get your kid like that? We had a neighbor. We don't even have kids. He talked to me. Man, June, man, it's June. He did this. He did that. You know what? I didn't say, oh, man, just kick him out. I shared truth because that's what was in me. He said, man, you know what? I think you need to talk to him. It's not my son's. I don't mind. You bring him over. We can do that. We can do that. He ain't do that, though. I put out a little, little trail, lead him through. It's part of my tactic. He didn't follow up, so he didn't really want to change. But he's like, man, he recognized, though, that this brother talking about is good. He wanted to hang. When he moved, gave me his number so I could call him. My wife said, you should call him. I ain't calling him. But again, the function is though you to be equipped here so that you're already out there. You're already out there. But your out there should matter. That's why this starts with wake up. Wake up. What's your mission? What's your mission? Wake up, get built up, trained. Why? Because you got to be able to hear the voice of God for yourself. Why? So that when you're in situations, you can recognize what God is doing. Does that make sense? Everybody. It don't start later. It starts now. So that you can recognize what God is doing right now. Because you are influencing people right now. Recognize the will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know that one. I'm going to show you how it ties into the identification stuff. 12, 1 and 2, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies living, holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. Don't be conformed. Don't be conformed to what? Don't be conformed to the world. Why? The world is constantly pressuring you. Be like us. 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 God says, don't be conformed, because he knows the pressure there. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the renewing of your mind does what? Look at it in there. What does it say it's for? And this is what I used to. What in the world? Say what? Ah! Look at there. I used to think you transform so that you can live like God. No. It says there so that you can prove the will of God. To who? He's not in jeopardy. No. Your purpose, again, is the wording is to prove the word of God, but this is so that you can display the will of God when you're interacting with your family, when you're at your job doing whatever it is you do at your job, when you're out and play. Your mission, your job no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, is to be an example of what God wants, what God likes, and what he is determined to do. That's you. That's you. That's the function. It says right there in Romans 12, it said that back in Ephesians 5, where it talks about wake up. So that you, again, recognize the will of the Lord. If you go up a little bit early, it says you should be able to recognize what pleases God. Why? Because you are going to be that revelation for those around you. Does that make sense? You are going to be that revelation for those around you unless you allow the world to press you in its image, which is the world's function, is to keep you from recognizing your full potential. Which, according to Pastor, is world-changing. How do you keep world changers from changing the world? You stop them from recognizing their identity. You matter not. You're worthless. You couldn't affect anybody. Or you get them preoccupied with something else. God says, wake up. That's the word on my heart. The potential in this room is outstanding. And I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about Tammy, we can see that, Uncle James. I'm talking about you, from the little ones to the more wise, more experienced. Your potential for transformation is amazing. And it's only unlocked in God. Only. Now, again, athletes tend to recognize it because that's the physical stuff. But playing the sport is just part of what God called them to do, right? They have a platform to do stuff. If you get in God and you embrace this, that's when we start affecting stuff. People are going to follow in by the church. Why? Everybody wants to hang around Aisha. Have you been around her? Have you been around that girl? Just listen to her. Well, there's a reason. There's something stately that God put in you. But not just so she can have a lot of friends. There's a purpose behind it. What is that purpose, John? I have no idea. Give an example and I'm finished and I'm closed. Because we fail to, when we don't look for, when we're not training, we fail to recognize what God is doing. This is a simple one. I'm at Urban Impact. We had kids down in the summer. We suspend what we do, and we just do a Bible study, and we have kids eat. Then the next day they go out and do stuff. So this is Bible study time. Kids do what they do. Bunch of kids, a lot of different areas. What do you think they're trying to do? Learn Bible verses. These are teens that I'm working with. Got girls from Florida, girls from Wisconsin, guys from all those areas. We passing out numbers, right? I'm international. So I know what people are doing, They're keeping me closed, hidden, John the preacher, whatever. We get into place, it's just busy. We're supposed to have word time to do Bible study they want me to do, recognize I can preach, Got all these kids there. All these people with less pigment than me there. And I recognize, because of the Lord, man, everybody's so, they're, you ever been, you just irritated? You don't even know why. You stepped into it, you just irritated. I'm recognizing this. I kind of got irritated, I'm like, man, and God's like, be careful. And he said, look, and I looked at, and they were kind of like, talking to each other, and some people a little upset, and didn't want to settle down, and you say, shut up, sit down, I can do that, because I'm not nice all the time, I guess, whatever, I can carry that, I can be authoritative. But God said, hey, I want you to recognize something. So I looked out, I said, okay, and he said, all right, well, and I said, well, let's just pray. And I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I said it because I didn't know what else to say. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, and like a mist, not a tangible mist, a refreshing mist came down. We were on a college campus, came down in that room. And all of a sudden, everybody went, it's like a shush came over from the front to the back. Shh. So now I'm excited. I'm kind of like into my own thing now, right? Because I've recognized the anointing. Again, these are not word of faith people. They're mad at pastor, right? Who taught him? Father, in the name of Jesus, and I begin to pray. You know, we have the authority, right? Whatever you bind on earth should be bound to what bound in heaven. So I bind. And I said, all right, now here's what I want you to do. The spirit of lust. I forbid the spirit of lust, the spirit of fornication, the spirit of pornography. I forbid you from interacting in this room right now. And, you know, I ain't peeped when one of my guys that worked with me said, dude, you should have seen the face of the parent when you said pornography. One of the kids was like, what? I said, demon. That's a demon. I'm just into it. And I said, you will not interfere with these kids any longer. And right now, I said, in the name of you, you will leave this place right now. Right? I mean, they're like, okay. They're already a little nervous about me being in the group. So I'm like, I'm speaking to them. I said, right now. When I said right now, and we were in this big college room, right? So it's like glass stuff around us. All of a sudden, there was this big boom that hit the glass. Boom! I'm not talking like somebody brained into it. It was a boom! It shook the place. I had everybody's attention. And it kind of moved me too. When I heard it, I was like, I have not experienced this demon. You know, I was like, Jesus, what's your name? You know, I identified it. And, you know, I kind of did, but I closed my eyes because I wanted them to think I was in control. You know, and finished out the prayer to receive the word, and the entire room was different. And I shared the word like I shared the word, you know, how God has gifted me, like me, but the gift of God, and people learn, you know, learning everything. And finished, you know. So I'm thinking, all right, thanks, Father. Thanks for that. That was good identification. Thank you. So they could hear me preach. I needed some silence. And I start walking, you know, people come up, very few, you know, shake my hand or whatever. And there's this kid, this teen, on the floor. I did not lay hands on him, Pastor. On the floor, kind of. So, you know, I'm like, okay, I recognize God is doing something. You know, so I'm still thinking demon. You know? So I kind of come over. They don't want me over there though because they know my ideology, right? But I can walk over there, and I start to kneel down and I'm praying in tongues and I'm kind of like, what happened? I said, man, he won't get up. He's not talking nothing. And so I'm stumped, right? Because I'm like, all right, I'm rebuking another demon. I'm confused what to do. And all of a sudden, this woman came. This woman came over and knelt down, and she's like, what happened? They tell her what happened. She's like, okay, I experienced this. Hold on. And then she called his name. And he kind of answered. So I'm looking. I'm like, well, no, you go ahead. I'm watching. And she says, Tony, he said, what? He said, what's going on? He says, man, I don't know. He said, look, I want you to open your eyes. Just tell me what's going on. And he doesn't open his eyes, but he opens his eyes without opening his eyes. He says, man, she said, where are you? He said, I'm in high school. I said, really? He said, what do you see around you? He said, man, I see all my friends, everything. I'm at the high school. I'm in the cafeteria, and I see everybody. And he said, well, look around. Well, who else do you see? What else do you see? I kid you not. He said, man, oh, look, there's Jesus. And she said, walk up to him and tell me what he says to you. And he says, he wants me to preach to my friends because they're not saved. And when he said that, all of a sudden his body was calm. And she said, okay, well, then God is calling you to minister to them. He's calling you. That's going to be your mission. And he said, oh. And then he starts talking, whatever, to the Lord. And then he opens his eyes, complete calm, complete calm. So I'm like, okay, well, that's what I thought, you know. I'm going to pray later, Father, oh, my God, thank you for what you did. But I had to look like I was in control, right? And I talked to her a little bit, and then he goes away. Now, this is because, this, you know, stuff happens, and then, you know, they're going to be teens. 2 years later, I get a call. They were from Iowa. North Dakota, they were in South Dakota. That's where they're from, South Dakota. They had a call. They want me to come up and preach to the college students at this community college at that college. This kid went back home. I don't know where he called the ministry, got together with some of the kids in that group, and they started a ministry group or whatever, and they went on to college, and he started a ministry group at that college. And it was their group gathering or whatever that I was going to speak at. He said, we need to get that guy to come preach. Went up there, completely changed. I had no idea who he was, what was going on, but he was not that person when he came. I'm talking about God transforming people. But it started with recognizing, not me recognizing, I had no clue what was going on. And that sound that they heard, at the time that I said that prayer, the shuttle had just entered atmosphere and a sonic boom hit the city. Because the pastor there was sure to come tell me, hey, man, that was a sonic boom. I was like, yeah, it was a sonic boom, all right. But that sonic boom didn't change that boy. I'm sharing that to say that is not the full power of God. That was not in church. That was not in a church. That was a time that God said, I need to touch that young man, and there's a vessel I can use. No matter where you are, what age you are, because I had that dude didn't call me to get trained. You understand what I'm saying? I had nothing to do with that. God said, you know what? You happen to be there. And you will say the words that I tell you to say. That's you. In your spirit, with what you're doing. I say, God, what do you want me to do? You talk a lot, so I want you to preach. But that doesn't have to be you. But whatever he wants you to do, you have great potential for impact and change. And that's what God is calling us to in this time. In this time. We pray and we're done. Father, thank you for being so gracious to incorporate us in what you're doing in this time. You've already given us the words. You've called us through Pastor Jim, through the ministers. You've encouraged us and you have extolled us. Be ready. It's coming. It's here. It's going to be fast. You're working. You're calling us to a new thing. Father, prepare our hearts. Strengthen us. You've not given us a spirit of fear, but a love, boldness, and a sound mind. Strengthen our resolve that we will step out into what you have called us to do. Open up our eyes to see the uniqueness in your plan that you have fashioned us for so that we don't miss it in this time. All right. The Lord bless you and watch, guard, and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, giving favor to you. The Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace, tranquility of heart, and life continually.